Friend, welcome back to the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm excited to have you here with me today as we introduce another amazing guest. And today, we're going to help you learn how to have a great day every day, despite whatever's going on your calendar or what chaos may come your way. Because isn't that the trick? Sometimes we can't predict it, but we can have control over it. And our guest, Suzanne Biro, is here to show you exactly how. As a way of introducing her, I want to do something slightly different just because every time I have a guest come on, I always ask them, what is their definition of freedom? And I've never shared this before on the show, but her definition really spoke to me. And I was just really grateful. Like, as soon as I saw this, I'm like, yes, she's the perfect guest for us. So let me start by that. And then, Susan, I'll turn it over to you. And, or Suzanne, I will turn it over to you and let you take it and explain a little bit about your background and how you came to this. Okay.
Sure.
All right. So she says to me, true freedom is an inner state. It's freedom from the self-doubt, anxiety, and deep-seated fears that limit our potential. It's escaping the outer life trap, the endless chase for external validation, so you can lead with authenticity and enjoy the success you've already created. This is so good. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for sharing that, Suzanne. Please tell us more about you and your story.
Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to this show on whatever podcast player you prefer and follow me on Facebook and Instagram.
Hey, it's Lindsay, and I want to pop in here because I know how overwhelming it can be to get started building an online business. I've even spoken with people who've paid thousands of dollars for help from people who are truly experts in this, and they're still feeling confused about what direction is right for them or if their idea is even a good one. Listen, you don't have to guess or pray or hope or any of that. There is a way to test the market to ensure your idea is a good one so you can launch with confidence. And that's exactly what I show you in this simple 35-minute video training. I keep it simple because I know you already have so much swirling around in your brain. I'm not here to add more confusion because what you need right now is clarity. And that's what's in store for you in the short training called How to Tell If Your Idea Will Be Profitable. Access the video right now by texting the word freedom to 55444. Stop guessing and start taking strategic action. Text freedom to 55444. All right, back to the show.
Sure. So I have been an executive coach for 24 years. I have worked with literally thousands of some of our world's best leaders and organizations in many different parts of the world and in almost different every different industry. I've worked with leaders. So I spent my days listening to the inner thoughts, concerns, frustrations, aspirations of literally thousands of, again, some of our world's best and brightest. It is work I absolutely love. Clients trust me with their lives, what is happening for them, what they aspire to, frustrations, challenges. And I just think it's just an incredible honor to walk alongside just some really talented people and to support them in hearing themselves and acting on what it is they know and in becoming ever more effective in ways that matter to them.
So, what led you down this journey to begin with?
I hired my own executive coach. I used to be an advertising executive, and I hired my own coach and just found the process incredibly valuable. I didn't know there was such a thing called coaching. And so then I thought, what I really want to do is that. And so went off and did the training, started my own business, me, myself, and I, solopreneur, 24 years ago, bumped along this risky journey, really. But I have loved the journey of it. It is endlessly fulfilling to run your own business. I've always thought that like success is get to do what you want to do, how you want to do it, and who you want to do it with. Yeah, so 24 years. So I coach at this point C-suite and executive level leaders, just work with a handful of leaders. And then I write and I speak and I host a podcast called Deep Fear. And so that is the bulk of my days.
What's the podcast called?
Deep Fear.
Deep Fear. Okay.
Deep fear, because I thought I should talk about something I know something about, and that is fear. I feel like as a solopreneur, the it demands that we push ourselves, and put herself out there in all kinds of ways that I have personally found terrifying, but I keep doing it because it's also thrilling to go, can I do that? Can I pull that off? Can I work at that level? And so it's endlessly exciting to continue to develop and grow and then look back and go, wow, you know, what I do today used to terrify me years ago. And now it's just, you know, an everyday, you know, occurrence.
Yes, that is true. That is powerful. Okay, so cool. So when you mentioned that you felt like doing something around your podcast, Deep Fear, something that you resonated with, can you tell us more about that and why that was something that stuck out to you as something that you resonate with?
Well, the journey of a human being is a terrifying one. I mean, we know from a very early age, we're all going to grow old and die. We know how vulnerable we are, every single one of us, whether we have a position of power or not, how quickly, you know, our lives are a house of cards. You take away one piece like health or a dear loved one and it all collapses. We know we can lose our jobs at any time, perhaps now more than ever with AI coming in. So we all know how vulnerable we are and how much we need and depend on each other. And so life's scary. It just is. We rely and trust so many people to do what they say they're going to do in order for things to turn out okay. And then we're afraid of various things. We're afraid of speaking up in meetings. We're afraid of asking for what we want. We're afraid of challenging people we deem to be more powerful than us. Even when we can sit around a boardroom table and the entire executive team wants to move in one direction and you think, I think that's a mistake, but everyone wants to move. And so it's like, to what degree do I trust myself, my own experience, my thoughts, versus what happens if I say something in this room now? So there's all kinds of ways that we are afraid. We're afraid we won't be liked, so we don't have the real conversations we need to have. We're afraid we'll be laughed at or humiliated if we don't show up a certain way. And so if we really watch ourselves, we will see how much we do from fear to protect ourselves, to not look stupid, silly. We don't even want to ask the question. That might look dumb. And so there's so much that fear drives our lives underneath.
I agree. I think fear can also be masked as confidence in a weird way. Like I was just thinking of yesterday, my son and I were talking and I just noticed some behavioral changes. So I was just like, okay, we need to have a talk, you know, mom time, mom talk. And it came out that basically he had pre-decided a certain outcome on a situation. And even though there was fear that rooted in that, that made him predetermine that outcome, he was unaware of the fear. He had just felt like, no, I'm confident this is what's going to happen. Therefore, I must do this other thing that was stressing him out. And I think it's really important for us to acknowledge that there's just some power in awareness and just in that humility of saying, yeah, you know what? There is some fear. What am I scared of today? Because when we say it, when we look at it, on the flip side, as an entrepreneur, and of course, we see it all around us, like television, we see it on podcasts, you know, all these people who are like, oh, I made six figures in 90 days with a baby on my hip and everything was great and you can do it too. And, you know, like we somehow have to like believe that if we're not showing to the world how amazing we are in 90 days, you know, it's like we failed it. But it's okay to have our own journey. And maybe we are afraid of that pressure we're putting on ourselves. And that could be as simple as that. So I think that's really powerful. And I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, well, there certainly is so much of that out there of like, you know, the six figure and like 2 week course. It's like, no. We got to be able to separate the lies from the truth and building anything that matters, whether it's a really wonderful friendship, a business reputation, raising a family, everything we really care about takes constant attention and care and diligence and time toward. And so I think we've lost the art of patience of, you know, what are we really driving towards? And if you just, rein it back in is, you know, when we see those Instagram-y kind of things, it's like, no, it'll just ignite all our own fear. I'm not further ahead. I should be further. Look at all these happy people. No, it's all lies. So don't do any of that from fear. It's like, what do I want to do today? And how can I serve the next person that I'm interacting with today so that this conversation with you can be a demonstration of everything that I ever sought to accomplish or do. Then when I leave you, I go and do that with my child. Then when I leave them, I go and do that in my next business meeting. And that accumulates over time, and that becomes a priceless brand or reputation. So there's nothing from fear. Try to do nothing from fear.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so that actually is a good lead in to how to have a great day every day, despite your actions. I mean, you just kind of described a few different scenarios and ultimately being present. But I mean, that's a pretty nebulous phrase. Just be present in everything you do and it'll work out great. So maybe you could take it a little bit more deeper and scientific than my
idea. Well, let's talk about what a great day every day is. It's not a phony, fluffy, Pollyanna thing. Life and adult life. And if you're a parent, any one of those endeavors, and many of us hold all of them, there's just problems and frustrations. And the bigger your company is, or the more success you have, the more problems come and the more challenges come. And so don't wait for those things to end, because they're not going to. What you focus on what we can control. And so, I have a practice called, what are my daily disciplines? Like, what are the 5 to 7 things that I know make a really great day for me? Meaning, it puts me in the best possible state to handle the numerous problems and challenges that are going to come my way. And they're just, basic things that I can control. So mine are, I need to sleep 7 or 8 hours. I'm really snappy if I don't get enough sleep. And then I'm really not well, and I'm ineffective, and I create a whole bunch of work in relationships because I'm short or rude with people. So, sleep, I need to take time in the morning. I set aside time every morning. I have a daily morning practice, 5 minutes, where I set an intention. Who do I want to be today as I interact with people and I handle the million and one things required of me, both personally and professionally? And I might say, I want to be present. I want to be available. I want to be fun today. I'd like to make other people's day fun. So I set an intention of who do I want to be? And then I spend the remainder of the 5 minutes writing down what are all the good, exciting, inspiring thoughts that I could choose to think and hold about the day if I only wanted to. So today it was like, I'm going to get to meet and speak with you. I just about to publish a book. I spent 3 years writing it. I'm so excited that it's finally across the finish line. My children and my family are well and healthy. It's the weekend and we're going to do some exciting. So I orient myself to what could I feel really good about? Because when I feel good, I will be good for other people. So I spend 5 minutes doing that. Then my other daily disciplines are, I need to get at least an hour of exercise in, whether it's walking with my dogs, something, going to yoga, weight training, whatever, but I need to get some sort of exercise. Otherwise, I just don't feel at my best. I can't do it every day. My schedule doesn't allow for it. But on my best days, that's what occurs. So I know what makes a great day for me. I eat foods largely with one ingredient. So I know what's in it. Broccoli, apples, I know chicken, salmon, tuna. Eat to 80% full, then I have the energy to be present and available, and I feel great. And then I bake in something fun every day. What's one thing for me that I can give myself? And sometimes it's just a walk in nature, or a walk with a friend, or listening to a podcast when I have a commute. If I do all those things, it tends to make it a really good day, because I've met my own needs. So that then I can be available for everyone that's drawing upon me with their problems and the things that they want and need from me. When I have really bad days, it's because I've usually done none of these things. And so that's okay. We are going to have bad days. It's like, I don't think we're ever going to have perfect this. The purpose of knowing what your daily disciplines are is that you know how to get back on track. No wonder it was a crappy day. I didn't sleep well. I ate like crap. I didn't get time to exercise. Then I was snappy with my kids, and I rude with the people I'm working with. And I don't want to do that again tomorrow. So tomorrow, how can I bake in the things that are most important again?
Do you ever stop midday, like if you catch yourself having one of the crappy days, and just kind of try to do a midday reset?
Yes. Yes, I will say I am getting crazy sitting here, and nothing good is going to come from the current state that I'm in. So the best thing that I can do is do one of things like I don't have time to exercise. Too bad. Get out and exercise because it's going to make you that much more effective. Or don't send that email because you're in a not a great mood. It's just not going to be the most ideal. And so I've learned to trust. And exactly that is if I can catch it. I don't always catch it, but if I can, very, very useful. Catch it midday and do one of the things. Sometimes it's, another one of mine is to drink like 6 glasses of water. It's just the simplest thing. And so when I'm, well set up, I've got my water sitting, so it's handy. But absolutely get back on track as soon as you can. Give yourself like one thing that you know is going to serve you.
I think that's really important, is having the clarity of knowing those things, the daily disciplines, as you call it. Because I mean, this isn't new information, right? I mean, we've read The Miracle Morning, or we've seen all the things out there and talking about the power of a routine and all of that. And that's really what you're saying. But more than that, you're also saying not just have a routine, but be specific about your daily disciplines, because you know these particular things lift your mood up. Like, and maybe on the same token, it's not doing some things like checking your email first thing in the morning. Or, for me, I sometimes get down this bunny trail on YouTube where it's all news and drags me down, and I'm like, I need to listen to a book or a podcast or something to let like raise my vibe. But just being mindful and taking those things and turning them around in the morning is the powerful. It is true. I agree with you that I have better days when I'm more committed to those things. For me, it's God time. It used to be just meditation, but it's not anymore. It's more like a journaling, talking to God. I read the Bible. It's like this whole experience, and I just call it God time. And I could go like a day, without it. I feel like, one of the, this came to me years ago, if I think a friend of mine shared it, is, we're like an airplane, and these good vibes, what can often happen is we do like our daily discipline every day. And so for a while, we're like an airplane and we're coasting, we're soaring. And we think, oh, well, I feel good today. I could skip breakfast the way I do, or I could skip my God time, or I could skip my whatever exercise or whatever. And maybe for a day that's true or two, but no matter what, if we're not inflating ourselves, we're deflating. It's just, there's no in between. We can't coast on good vibes. It's just too much in the world to pull us in another direction. I think it's really important to do it even on the days you feel great.
Yes. And I feel like the most successful men and women I've ever met or worked with in some capacity or have the honor to know all have a way that they manage themselves. And they know, like they have self-knowledge of what is needed so that I can be at my best and highest for others and deal with all the things coming at me. And they are quite disciplined to stick to. And we learn about ourselves in that process of when we have a really bad day, debrief it. Where did it go wrong? Where was that? I can usually find the one decision. It's like I said it was going to be no big deal to have that glass of wine, but then that glass of wine had me eating poorly, and then it had me not wanting to do my exercise, and then the whole day went sideways. And so I don't want to do that again because it didn't make a great day for me. And so we tighten up our schedule and tighten it up. And then we come to know ourselves and know what really, really serves us. And then it just becomes the way that we live more often than not. We can't do it all the time, but I think it's really important to tighten it up and to know ourselves well as to what makes a day great for me. I mean, we should, why not enjoy our lives as we handle everything that we need to?
And I think too, more, I don't think this is said enough, but negative thinking is an addiction. And it's one of those things that if we're not already programmed to think positively or be in this space, it might feel hard at the beginning. And especially because we are already in the habit of, waking up and dreading our day, or we have a client meeting that we just dread this experience. And so we're just focusing on this one thing we're going to dread or whatever. That is a habit. So what are some things that you think are how could people put this into practice in their life? Like, for example, what are some
things that prevent people from doing this that you hear the most, like excuses, we'll just say. It's what it feels like most of the time. And then the second thing is, for people who have known for a while that they really need to do this, but and they've tried, but it's hard to stick to. What are some things or words of wisdom you might give them to help them stay on track?
Well, you said something so profound. I'm not going to remember them even that negative thinking is a bad habit or something. It's absolutely becomes the more we think a thought, the more we will think it, the more we actually grow our neurons, and our brain shoots down that highway before we're even present to it. I think it was Einstein who said, if we knew the power of one negative thought, we would never think it. So to answer your question, the first thing that we can do is the daily morning practice. It's something I have shared with, through keynotes, millions of people, and it's one of the most important things. Everyone has 5 minutes. The first thing you're going to do, 5 minutes, set a timer on your phone if it's useful. Write down an intention of who you want to be as you handle everything today. And then write down as many exciting, encouraging, inspiring thoughts as you could have about the day if you only chose to. And then you're going to choose it. And you're going to do this for a period of at least 1 month, every single morning, 5 minutes a day. And then at least once during the day, take out what you wrote down and read it to ground yourself. Who did you want to be? And what were all the exciting, good thoughts you could choose to think about? Because you are now rewiring your brain to look at what is interesting, fun, good, exciting. It can feel phony, it can feel Pollyanna at first. My invitation is that you do it for a month without question and see what changes for you. So that's one. The second one is when you feel bad in some sense, disconnected, overwhelmed, depressed, frustrated, take out a piece of paper and write down, what have I just been thinking? And write down, 10 thoughts, or as many as you can do in a very short period of time. And then just look at those thoughts, and I want you to ask yourself, how do they make me feel? Because what the thoughts that you are running in your mind, if you're feeling bad in some way, they will make you feel like, if we gave those to any normal human being and said, here, think these, they would also feel frustrated, bad, in some fashion. Then I want you to take another fresh piece of paper out, and I want you to go, what alternative thoughts could I choose to think? Not that you're going to believe them now, but what other options could be available to me? Is there any other way that I could conceive of what is happening today, who I am, what I have to deal with? And then think about, how would someone I admire and look up to, how would they think about the same situation day? What you want to do is give your brain some choices and see if you can grab onto and go, okay, there's some of those thoughts. Let me just, even if it feels fake or phony, that's where the acting as if comes in. And choose to just look at, maybe I could think this one thought. I know this is frustrating, but things have a way of always working out for me.
There
Or
was a time there that's on this note. There was a time when we first moved here to Idaho. My whole goal in life was to be a stay-at-home mom. I thought that's what really was my purpose. And I move up here. I took a year off from working, and I was Susie Homemaker and stay-at-home mom extraordinaire. And I went into the deepest depression. I just really did. It wasn't filling me in a purposeful way. And that's like a whole other bunny trail. But the point was I went into this really deep depression, like serious. Like I don't think I've ever experienced anything so severe in my lifetime. And I remember every day when I was younger, I had a friend who was an alcoholic, and she used to take me to Al-Anon meet or AA meetings.
yeah.
And they would have these just for today things that they would say, like, just for today, I will, blah, 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 whatever it is they're working on. And for some reason, that came in my mind. And at that point, I thought, just for today, I will find one thing to be okay with, like to have a reason for my day. One thing, if all I could do is today, have one thing. And I had spent years with, self-help. I mean, since I was 19, I've been conscious of my thoughts, replacing my thinking,
You would think that at this point in my life, in my late 30s, like I'd have had it all figured out, you know? And that is a big piece of it. Like, how could I be experiencing this severe depression now after I've already been self-helping myself for so long? Like, what happened? Well, whatever it is, when it is, it fell off. I fell off. Okay. So as getting back on, I just knew that if every day I could focus on one thing, everything else can go to heck in a handbasket. I was like, that's fine, but I'm gonna find one thing. And I'm gonna tell you something, Suzanne, it took every ounce of energy I had to find one thing. It was hard. My brain could just not do it. And like you said, it felt fake. It felt dumb, corny, hooky. It's like, how could I believe this one thing is good when everything else seems so dark? So I get exactly what you're saying. And it is true. It is true. But I also knew that if I just did it, that I'd be making these deposits and every day it would come. And every day it got a little brighter and a little, I mean, like micro brighter, not a lot brighter. But I pulled myself out of it without, without needing, help externally, because we had just moved here. I didn't know anybody. Like everything was just upside down in my life at that time. But it was true and it worked. And I just wanted to share that because, what you were saying reminded me.
I love that story, and I think it's so useful for anyone listening because the human, my experience is the human mind will tend toward the negative. So it takes constant awareness and discipline and intention. And that's why we have practices. That's why the daily morning practice. You don't work out once and have a fit body. You stay on top of it because the human body tends toward atrophy. The same will happen with your mind. It will go towards the negative of what's missing, what's lacking, and that list will never end. It will never end. And so the work that each of us must do, that's why mindset is everything, is we must do exactly what you just did. I did the same thing in 19, I was 19 years old. I went into a severe depression. I actually told my mom, I think I might kill myself. I'm in so much pain. I don't understand. And I came across Tony Robbins' work. And it changed my life that I could think differently. What? The unbelievable. Now it takes practice and intention and discipline, but exactly as you said, and I did the same thing years ago when I had to, I had a business partner steal a whole bunch of our work, and I had to rebuild my entire business, and I was so hurt and disillusioned, and I had two kids, and I went from a very healthy six figures to zero overnight, and I had to rebuild everything, and I would wake up in the morning, and I would decide I'm going to find my one win. Because I am drowning here and I'm going to go into such a deep, dark place, I don't even think I can get myself out. So I would find one win. One win would have been when I pick my kids up from school, they are alive. And I would give 90% of my internal attention to that one win. Because there's so much abundance and so many things that go well in the course of our lives, we just don't pay attention to it. Things that if we took away right now would be the only thing we wished for. It's like you and I have clean drinking water available to us. I mean, that is not a given. That was, people paved the way so we could have that. You and I are women. We have a, I'm not currently worried for my physical safety. I mean, what else could I want? I have food available to me. Not everyone does. There are so many things we could be grateful for. And the more we give more of our internal attention to everything we have now, that if it was missing, it would be the only thing we would wish for. We're a certain age, our parents are still alive, we were able to have children, some people can't. We have our health, we have opportunity. We live in a time where you can learn anything with an internet access. I mean, there are so many things. So I think your practice is exceptional. Find one win every single day and give it most of your internal attention and keep doing that. And then all of a sudden you will find you just feel excited and you start to see the world differently because your brain will start to grow different neurons. And then there's so much beauty all around that it's like, I don't even think I can take it all in. Because then I always find my one win, and then there's a second win and a third win and a fourth win, and it's like, what? How many good things can happen to one human being? And that's the world I live in. But it comes with practice and discipline, and it's weird internal work. Like I can think this thought and this feels more real. That's just what's happening now. It says nothing about what today's thinking will create for your tomorrow.
I think too, it goes back to the very beginning of our conversation about fear, because as you're talking, I'm thinking, obviously you and I both remember what it was like when our brain could not have that thought, right? Like that idea, that gratitude that you just expressed. We literally could not formulate the thought in our mind because our brain wasn't wired for that. And for whatever reason, it just wasn't happening, right? But that's where the fear comes in. And when we were talking about in the very beginning about looking at the fear, maybe the fear is, oh no, if I look for something good, it'll just be taken away. Or if I look for something good, it could be, whatever the case may be, whatever the fear is. It's also interesting on the flip side, too, for those listening, that when you do shift your mindset to the positive, it actually becomes hard to go back to the negative. I found that to be true too, where I can remember the feeling of the darkness, but I cannot put it in words the way I could have when I was in it. You know what I mean? So it works both ways. But interesting though. But my point is to say that what is the fear that's holding them there, and then how can they look at that to get that courage to do what feels a little funny in that moment to say, yeah, this fear is probably not real, or it might feel real today, but I'm going to just try it, and in 30 days see if I still feel it. Something like that. Do you have a tool you
Yeah,
use for
when I
people?
would even say, we only have so much internal attention. And so it's like, what do you want to give the internal attention to? There's all kinds of fears that are real. And when I hop in my car, I could go, I'm trusting that other people driving 100 miles per hour on this one little aren't going to cross the yellow line. I could focus on that, but most of us tend not to. We jump in a car, we drink our cup of coffee, we're listening to the radio, we're talking to someone else, and we're not riddled with fear as we're driving, most of us. So we are. But that fear is real. But we just don't place our internal attention upon it. So we're doing it in all facets of our life. It's just being more intentional in the places that we find we currently struggle to say, I could spend my time worrying about this thing. And if there's something you can control within that thing, then go and control that and make some good choices. I don't feel comfortable with my child sleeping over at that person's house, then that's a decision. But on the things that you can't control, simply focus on what would make me feel excited right now? What would make me feel empowered right now? What would be super cool if I could pull off today? Who could
And
I reach
I
out
like what
to?
you said, that analogy of the fear and just the recognition that, we get in the car and we drive and we're not frozen in fear, most of us, right? But then at the same time, if we're feeling fear because we might launch a new project and it might fail, we're giving that fear our attention, therefore it feels real. All of it could be real if we paid attention to it. So what we pay attention to is what we feel, is really what you're saying. So be mindful of where you're putting your attention. And
Yeah,
I
and
think
where we place our attention is what will occur.
okay.
We will literally create what we can be no other way. We create the world as we are. And so if we're launching a new product, we might go, okay, I noticed that I'm afraid that this could fail. It's like when I did my TEDx talk, I'm deathly afraid of public speaking. Not so much anymore because I do it so often, but I used to be. Doing TEDx was terrifying for me. I dreaded it for months. I remember them calling my name and going, what's the worst that's going to happen? Well, I'm going to royally screw this up and it's going to be recorded forever. And I might just limit all my future potential for work that I do. And then I thought, okay, that could all happen, but will I be there for me when it all occurs? It's like, okay, how many people have failed at other things? And first of all, the world is not watching us. Like it really isn't. And so if you can chase the fear down, usually the fear is like I'm going to be homeless, unloved on the street. And it kind of gets to an absurd place. It's like, okay, I'm going to do this thing. It might not work out, but success for me is going to be that I had the courage to try it because I'm going to learn. If it didn't work out, it'll be a funny story to laugh about with my friends. And I'll know what not to do next time. And so just loosen the reins a little bit on and look at what could possibly go right.
Yes, I
I
love
mean, we
that.
always
What if
go what
thing?
if down, but what if could what could this possibly mean? Maybe the launch goes terrible, but I learn how to then launch it the next time.
And what if it goes great? I mean, just like
Yes.
we could just throw that out there too. Like, but what if it, if we're gonna play the what if game, what if it goes great? What if I have cancer? What if you don't? You know, it's like you don't know until you know and you do it. And so at the end of the day, until we move into that direction and then follow in the steps, we really can't, boy, can we really make a story sound convincing, can we?
Yes,
We
and I think
really are good at that.
that's why our mindset is everything, and we're each tasked with developing a mindset that will serve us to have us want to do the things that we know we need to do to create the impact we want to have for the world. Like most of us here, if we're wanting to be an entrepreneur, it's because we want to make the world in some better in some way. So get in touch with your highest reason for doing that. Because you can't serve other people by worrying about your own failures. It's like, I don't care. I might fail in this conversation, but I'm here. I'm spending time with you only because I believe that this can serve other people. And if it serves one person, then it was a success. If one person gets one thing that they can use from our conversation, then it was an enormous success. You know,
Agreed.
99 other people can say, well, that was a waste of my time or not useful, but one person. And so get granular that way. You're called here to do something to make the world better, and you can't make it better by worrying about your small fears yourself.
Yeah. Amen. That's great. Suzanne, this is exactly why I brought you on the show. To talk
Awesome.
about mindset, to talk about that, motivate people. Let's have a real and honest conversation, and you totally brought it. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Please let people know where they can connect with you and, you know, how they can, if, what does it look like to work with you further?
Sure. Best way to connect with me, I have a book coming out. It's called This Could Be Everything for anyone who wants to make their tomorrow better than today. So you can go to suzannebureau.com/book. But if you go to my website, you can follow me on social media, or you can listen into my podcast, Deep Fear to Empowered Leadership in Business and Life. And that's the best way to reach me.
I love it. Thank you so
Thank
much.
you.